Romans 13, beginning in verse 11 and going through verse 14, these are God's words. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The passage starts out saying, and this, referring to what has come before. He's described Christian living as love unto God and to brother and to neighbor. Love unto God as a living sacrifice. Love unto our brother, recognizing that God, by making us members of Christ and one another, has made each of us a gift to the others in the body, in the role that he has given us within the body. Loving our neighbor by being a beacon, a demonstration before him of what is good, what God says is good, and we live according to what God says is good, and then our neighbor sees it and benefits from it and finds that we are very determined to be at peace with him as far as it depends on us, so that even neighbors who are enemies find that we do not repay evil for evil, but we overcome evil with good. And even neighbors who are our magistrates find that we are the best subjects, respecters of their authority that they have under them. And so he's described the Christian life, the response to the grace of God, and the working out of the fruit of the grace of God in our life in those ways, noting that as we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and as we love our neighbor as ourselves, we will be keeping the commandments of God. So the commandments of God are not merely arbitrary rules for us to follow. They are the expression of God's character. They teach us the implications of God's character. They teach us the applications in our lives of the implications of God's character. And all of this because we are those children of God that chapter 8 was talking about, who are going to be ultimately fully revealed at the resurrection, the redemption of our bodies, that adoption that is coming. We are those children of God whom he loved in the Son and has determined in that love to conform us to the image of the Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so there is this glorious, everlasting, brilliant, bright, heavenly reality with God as Father and Christ as the firstborn and the many brethren whom the Lord has determined to adopt in Christ, that at the last day and forever after, we will shine like the sun. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. And so the apostle here, having talked about the Christian life in terms of our duty to God and brother and neighbor and enemy and magistrate, having talked about the Christian life in terms of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, as expressed with respect to neighbors, especially in loving our neighbors as ourselves, as a fulfillment of the obedience to these commandments, he now talks about the Christian life using a metaphor, a word picture of waking up. He says a Christian is somebody who knows what time it is. There are those who live in utter darkness. They are, as it were, blind. When the sun starts to rise, they don't notice. They cannot see its rays, and so they continue in their darkness. A Christian mustn't do that. A Christian is someone who has begun to see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. This is what happens, 2 Corinthians 4 tells us, when God removes the veil from the heart and he acts in his almighty power, in the same almighty power in which he acted at creation when he said, "Let there be light." He works in that same almighty power in redemption. So that 2 Corinthians 4 says, he who made the light from the darkness, or spoke the light from the darkness, has caused now the light of the knowledge of his glory to shine in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. And so a Christian is someone who, at least in part what a Christian is that he is someone who has upon whom the light of the dawn of the everlasting glorious day has begun to shine upon us. And in that case, we should wake up. The apostle is borrowing this image from Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, where we read, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But Yahweh will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising," and so forth. But he describes coming to know Jesus Christ in terms of the sun rising upon us. And this, of course, in Isaiah 60, follows what we have recently heard in Isaiah 51, verse 17, and Isaiah 52, verse 1, where we had those double commands. "Awake, awake," he said in each of those places. And so now the apostle says in Romans 13, "And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time, it is now time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." So the Christian begins to see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the more that he learns about God, the more that he learns about Christ, the more he comes to know Christ, the more the Holy Spirit gives him to grow in Christ, the more light that he sees. And so he's addressing us, isn't he? Like addressing somebody who saw the light at first, but really just wanted to keep sleeping. And now the light is getting brighter and fuller as the sun continues rising, and the dawn is progressing and promising us that very soon it will be full day. And that's what he's talking about at the beginning of verse 12. "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." And so we have clothing set out, like someone who sets out their clothing the night before they're going to do something. And now the sun is rising, and there's clothing that is set out for us that matches this daytime that is coming, the armor of light. And it reminds us, of course, as Ephesians 6 also does, that light and living as light in this world is a battle. And so it's described to us as the armor of light, but it matches the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. It matches the eternal and holy life that is to come. And that's how we are to be living. A Christian who is not living his life as a living sacrifice for God. A Christian who is not living his life as a gift to the rest of his congregation. A Christian who is not living as a beacon of goodness in front of the rest of the watching world is a Christian who is trying to stay asleep, who is trying to live in darkness. Now, this is the place where the metaphor takes a turn. Because when he talks about doing what belongs to the darkness, he doesn't just talk about sleep as if it's something neutral. He talks to us actually in pretty shocking terms in verse 13. It's a little bit watered down in our English translation. And the terms are shocking enough that even when I describe them to you, I will only use generalized terms or translations. But he says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness. And the word revelry means the worst sorts of wicked parties that people have. Then he says, not in lewdness, which is an unrestrained form of the worst immorality. And lust, which is translating a word that means the most intensely expressed jointly done forms of wickedness. So when he says revelry and drunkenness, lewdness and lust, he is saying that when we live for ourselves, when we live according to our former nature, we just kind of live by default rather than intentionally, conscientiously putting on Christ, because that's what verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's only two ways that you can live. You either live from the new life that you have in Christ and with Christ. You either live from the life of Christ himself in you, or you're living from your former nature. And the things from your former nature are from the same place. They have the same origin as these horrible, dreadful things that he describes here in these four terms: revelry, drunkenness, lewdness, and lust. And as he is going to bring us into chapter 14, he also includes strife and envy there. That strife and envy, those are things that ought to belong only to the relationships of unbelievers. Now, we've seen in chapter 12 that they belong, they also occur in the relationships of believers, but they shouldn't. They come from the same place as the revelry and drunkenness and lewdness and lust. So he's saying, don't sleepwalk through your Christian life. Sleepwalking through the Christian life comes from the same place as the greatest wickedness that man can imagine. And he has imagined a lot. No, don't sleepwalk through the Christian life. The armor of light that he said to put on in verse 12 is actually a person. We have been given to dress ourselves daily with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the scripture talks about this in two different places or two different ways. First, it talks about us putting on Christ in terms of our justification, that he is our worthiness before God. He is our attire. But we also put on the Lord Jesus Christ in our sanctification. We are given by the Spirit, applying Christ to us, by the Spirit growing us in our faith in him, as we sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh, as Galatians 6 talks about. We are to put on Christ every day. That's one of the reasons why we have worship times, whether secret worship or family worship. That's one of the reasons God has been so merciful to give us the Lord's Day at the beginning of the week, is so that we would attend upon the Lord in his means, and that we would then carry that mindset of putting Jesus on as we go to our day, so that we don't, as he says in the end of verse 14, make provision for the flesh to fulfill its desires. to fulfill its lusts. Because either we are putting on Christ and we are living according to his life in us, or we are fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Even the person who thinks that he's going to keep commandments, but he's not doing it by putting on Christ, he's going to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Because his own will, that which is from himself, is not going to produce godliness. Only the life of Jesus in us is going to produce godliness. And so, wake up, get dressed. We have the best clothing imaginable given to us, laid out for us, for the living in the light rather than sleepwalking as if in darkness. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The sun is higher now on the horizon. The rays of the eternal glory and light in which we will live are stronger and brighter and fuller. Wake up, put on Christ, and live in the way that we have been hearing the Spirit instruct us about for the last couple of chapters. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that your Holy Spirit would give us to see the light of the knowledge of your glory shining in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ, and that you would give us to be aware of that everlasting blessedness and holiness in which we shall soon live, and to live in accordance with that by putting on Jesus Christ by faith even now. Give us to do so, we ask in his name. Amen.